Today our affirmation comes out of our hymnal, actually. And maybe it doesn't. there we go. 631, obedience. You shall therefore love the Lord your God. You shall therefore love the Lord your God and always keep his charge, his statutes, his ordinances, and his commandments.
For this commandment, which I command you today, is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach.
It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us, to get it for us, and make us hear it that we may observe it.
Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea for us to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it.
But the word is very near you and in your mouth and in your heart that you may observe it.
This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success.
Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams.
He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and will disclose myself to him.
Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our abode with him.
Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered.
By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Dear Father, it is just so amazing that you are such a gracious and wondrous God. And we are so glad that we can be with you and you are with us. Now today we ask that we would truly love you and we would be truly able to keep your commandments. That we would truly be able to do your will. That we would truly be able to hear your voice, that we would truly be able to live in a way that glorifies you, that we would truly be able to do this, and that you would give us the desire to do so, so that at the end of all of this, people will know that you are great and wonderful. We are challenged by who we are, in light of who you are. We are challenged by our failures. We are challenged by our circumstance. We are challenged by the world. We are challenged by sin. We are challenged, but you have overcome all of this. You've overcome all of us. And now we are overcome with your presence. Fall on us this day. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. And we thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Doing what you did for us. The birth of our Savior, Emmanuel. You came to us. You are with us. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for that. Have us adore you in the proper way, the miracle that you are, the Savior we need. Amen.
This time of year is always a bittersweet time of year because it seems like God's great goodness is highlighted or set in relief against all of the challenging things that are going on all around us. We have seen so much, and you wonder, how do you think? How do you process all of this? You tend to think, well, we're the first people in history that have ever had to deal with such craziness. We're the first people in history that have had to recognize the greatness of God in the midst of the mess. The wonder of God with all of this distress, the amazing things of God, when we feel in such distress. But that's not true. We're not the first people that, right in the midst of all of the stuff that was going on, that there were things that were difficult to handle, things that were difficult to understand. And we're preaching through parts of the book of Ezekiel, and then after that we will look at the book of Daniel. And then after that, we'll go into Thessalonians. And so we've got a plan about how to follow this through. And in the midst of that, there are the highs and lows of Christmas and holidays and things going on that are just absolutely amazing. So turn with me to Ezekiel, the 20th chapter today. In the 20th chapter of Ezekiel, it says, let me read the 14 verses that we're going to deal with today so that you can kind of understand that I've taken out of the book of Ezekiel just a small section, a small part of an interesting, fascinating narrative. But I think it speaks to us today as we understand how it was speaking to the people of that time. Ezekiel has been exiled. And it came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month, the tenth day of the month, that certain elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before me. Here the people of God said, hey, we want to hear from God. We want to know what God wants to say to us. What's going on here? Can you interpret all of this stuff going on for me? Can you interpret the reason that there's so much distress, there's all of this mess? Can you do that for me? And they've come to the prophet and they want to hear this. And so God speaks to the prophet. Definitely God's words, not from the prophet, not from the prophet's frustration or disgust or fear or any of that. This comes from God because it says, then came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel and say unto them. really interesting. He didn't speak directly to them. He said he spoke to the prophet for him to speak this word. Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. Are you come to me? Are you come to inquire of me? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. I don't want to talk to you. I don't have anything to say to you. You want to be inquired of me? I will not be inquired of by you. Wouldn't that be a horrible feeling? Wouldn't that be a terrible thing if God doesn't even want to talk to you? If God doesn't want to speak with you? So he tells the prophet, he says, will thou judge them, son of man? Will thou judge them, cause them to know the abomination of their fathers? Listen, he was saying to them, you tell them about this. You tell them how they have lived. You tell them how they have behaved. You talk to them. Wilt thou judge them, son of man? Wilt thou judge them, cause them to know the abomination of their fathers, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, in the day when I chose Israel and lifted up mine hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up my hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God, in the day that I lifted up mine hand unto them to bring them forth of the hand of the land of Egypt unto a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. Then said I unto them, cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen, saying, among whom they were, in those whose sight I made myself known unto them in bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness, and I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctified them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. In my Sabbaths they greatly polluted. Then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen, in whose sight I brought them out. It's just kind of I took a section right out of the middle there. So I want you to understand what was happening here. They come and they want to be, they want to hear from God. God speaks to the prophet And he tells the prophet, I don't want to talk to them. I want you to tell them just how messed up their fathers were, the people that were leading them, the people that were guiding them, the people that were before them, how messed up they really were. I want you to tell them that when they were in the land of Egypt and I delivered them, I saved them, I pulled them out of the land of Egypt. In fact, while they were still in the land of Egypt, I thought about destroying them, but I didn't want to destroy them there, not in front of the people of Egypt. No. I didn't want to mess up my name that way. So I brought them out into the wilderness. And then when I brought them out into the wilderness, I gave them these commandments. I gave them things and ways that they were supposed to behave themselves, and they still messed up. And I thought about it. Maybe I should just destroy them right there. Maybe I'll just get rid of them. But no, for my name's sake, I wouldn't let my name be polluted before the heathen among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them in bringing them up out of Egypt. I did all of that. I did all of that. I helped them. I even gave them a sign. I wanted the whole world to know that I helped them. So they didn't have to work 7 days a week. In fact, they should rest. They should have Sabbaths. They should rest. And even though they're resting, they won't have any less than anybody else. They'll still be prospering even though they have the Sabbath, but they're set aside. And it's obvious that they are holy to me. It's obvious that they are my people. And even after all of that, they still did abominations. They still didn't live right. Even after all of that, but the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes. They despised my judgment, which if a man do my judgments, if he does my judgments, if he does those, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbaths, they greatly polluted. Then I said I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. But I wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted before the heathen in whose sight I brought them out. You see, time and time and time again, our God was so gracious unto Israel. He plucked out of Israel, out of nothing. He plucked Abraham out of this people, this other people, and he made a people out of them. He gave them a name. He gave them a covenant. He gave them precious promises. He gave them so very much. And then when they were taken into Egypt, he protected them. In fact, he even protected them by letting them go into a mess. You know, sometimes something that you would not have chosen turns out to be protection. Something that you would not have chosen turns out to be the very thing that is helpful, that works for you. And so here they are. Remember Joseph? You remember Joseph. Joseph was a kid. And as he's a kid, his father loved him and gave him a multicolored coat. And he has this multicolored coat and makes his brothers jealous. Right in one family, they have this jealousy, this hate between them. All of this stuff going on. And Joseph gets put down in a hole. They thought about killing him, but they did him a favor. They sold him into slavery because they didn't want him to die. So they sell him into slavery, and there he is in slavery, and he's taken down to Egypt, and there in Egypt he is put in a household of Potiphar. Potiphar was a jailer, but he was the household guy, and he was taking care of the house, and he was doing everything the right way. He was living right, trying to do right in a situation that he found himself, trying to do right when it hurt. And Potiphar's wife acted like a lustful, foolish woman. And he's accused of abusing her. And in that abuse, he is sent to prison. So he's doing the right thing, trying to live right, and it got worse for him instead of better. Funny thing, the scripture says, and the Lord was with him. Yeah. Lord, are you with me? Yeah, I'm with you. Then why am I going to jail? And there in the jail, he hears the testimony of these two guys who had served Pharaoh, and he has a dream about them, and one of them ends up being saved and the other one killed. And the one that was saved, Joseph said, don't forget to tell Pharaoh about me. And it took him 2 years to remember. I remember now. And he remembers, and Joseph is taken and becomes the second in command. After an amazing story, he becomes the second in command, and the second in command when the bad thing, the horrible thing of crop failure and of famine and hurt, when all of that comes, he is able to rescue the family. All of that bad, and yet he's able to rescue his family. So he brings his family down into Egypt. After the family had been in Egypt in the part called Goshen, they grew and they grew and they grew and they grew. And after 400 years, there was a leadership that didn't remember Joseph, didn't remember all the good that Joseph had done. And he wanted to make sure that these people could never prosper. So he made it hard for them as they worked and they worked. And it seemed like a bad thing. And in the midst of all of that, God delivers them. He sends plagues that demonstrates that he is king over everything, every circumstance, every way that could be imagined. God is king, and he rescues these people. He doesn't rescue them because they're so good. He doesn't even rescue them because they've been so faithful, because they're neither so good or so faithful. He rescues them because he himself has chosen them for himself. He has chosen you and I for himself. He rescues us for himself. He rescues us and wants us and desires that we would live in a way that glorifies his name so that his glory is spread out over the whole earth. We have purpose, and our purpose is to live in such a way that everyone knows that there is a great God who is calling. And so he delivers them. And he says, once he delivers them, I'm not going to take you right into the promised land. I'm not going to take you right into Canaan because you're not ready yet. I'm not going to take you to the end quite yet because you're just not ready. I need you to believe me. I need you to believe my word. I need you to live in such a way that honors my word, that honors who I am. And there they are at 40 years, and they are such unbelievers. All the old ones had to just go. I'm not letting any of you go into this new place, this new thing. No. So all of the ones that were above 20 died. But they were still God's people. And God loved them. And he grew up this new crop and he sent them into the land of Canaan. And after they got there, they were just wonderful and they never did anything wrong again. And now we don't have any story to tell. No. They were just like us. They were just like you and I. Here, we have been delivered. God came for us. The Father in heaven allowed himself to be separated from himself, to be born in a virgin. Jesus, God with us, he's born of a virgin. He lives as a man while being 100% God. He lives totally as a man, and he's 100% man, and he lives this wondrous, amazing life that was so strange, and he lived just like one of us. And around the age of 30, he becomes this person who preaches and teaches and heals, and it is wondrous, and he shows us how the Father would have us to live. He then allows himself to be the sacrifice that paid the price for our sin, for my sin. He paid the price for my sin because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there was no way for me to live with the Father in peace throughout eternity unless my sins had been paid for. And I was too dumb and too weak to pay for them myself. I didn't have the wherewithal. There wasn't enough. It would have just been my death. But instead of me having to die for those sins to be paid for, Jesus died on the cross. One who was made sin, one who had no sin, was made sin for me. He took upon him all of my punishment, all of my hurt, all of my pain. He took it, and he now allows me to live. So how now do I live in the midst Am I just a perfect person? Well, you know I am. Not. And there are times when I have to confess my sin. Confess that I'm at odds with the truth of the Word of God. Confess that I'm at odds with the truth of the gospel. Confess that I'm at odds with the holiness of God. But the reality is that even though in my physical self, even though I am what I am, the fact is that God is still shaping me. He's sanctifying me. He's setting me aside for His purposes. And the blood that was shed at Calvary is still efficient even for one like me. I think there's enough for you too. Like these people who had seen so much, we have seen so much. It's of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. We could have been finished already. And none of us would have been able to lay on God. That's not fair. We could have been through, but He so loved the world that He gave. He so loved the world that He changed us, that He makes us His own. We've been translated out of darkness into His marvelous light. We need to live as people that are in the light. But I can't do it. I can't do it. I don't have the wherewithal. Oh, I forget. He is my wherewithal. So I receive Him. And I say, thank You, Jesus, for changing me. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that He is my Savior, who has saved me from dangers seen and unseen. And I am so excited about it, I want to tell the whole world Jesus is Lord, and He can be your Lord too. Jesus is Lord, and everybody ought to know. I know that sometimes you hurt. I know that sometimes the circumstance you find yourself in is confusing and beyond your comprehension. I know that. And He knows that. And He says, don't worry. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, my brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. But don't think too highly of yourself. It's not about you. Don't think too highly of yourself, but think soberly, as each man has been given this gift. Honor God. Honor God. He loves us. Will you bow your head with me? Father, at this time of year when we remember how Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, was crucified, dead, and buried, the third day he rose again, may we celebrate how good you really are and what you have done that we may benefit from. Thank you, Lord. Merry Christmas, my Savior. Merry Christmas. Thank you. Have me. I know I'm not much of a gift, but I'm all I have. Have me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today, surrender yourself. Surrender yourself.